The Good GP podcast is excited to have MedTech Global as a sponsor. MedTech is on a mission to digitally transform general practice so GPs can focus on quality patient care. For more information about MedTech Global, visit medtechglobal.com.
You're listening to The Good GP, the podcast for busy GPs.
Hello and welcome to The Good GP. I'm Sean Stevens, and before we start, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners on the lands where this podcast is recorded. Alison and I are on Whadjuk country in the Noongar Nation, and we pay our respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. My guest today is Dr. Alison Cray. Alison has been a GP since 1986. For the last 20 years, she's worked only in women's health and sexual and reproductive health. She's been employed as a medical educator in sexual and reproductive health for 23 years. Welcome, Alison.
Thanks, Sean.
Great. So, Alison, how is intimate partner violence different to domestic violence?
Yeah, they're very similar. Intimate partner violence really just refers to that subsection of domestic violence, which is about the relationship between two presumably sexual partners. Whereas domestic violence really is a more comprehensive term that applies to all of the different relationships in a living situation. So it can certainly apply to children, definitely partners, but anyone else who's living in that habitation.
Whereas this is specifically about people in an intimate, usually sexual relationship. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Can you please tell us why you want to talk about intimate partner violence with GPs?
Yeah, it's a really common issue for people. It's much more common than certainly in the past I had ever realised. It has really huge health impacts on people who are experiencing it, yet not a lot of people get to talk about it with their GPs. I must say, from a GP perspective, and I'm sure many other GPs have found it one of the difficult topics to talk about, one of the difficult topics to ask about, certainly not easy to hear people's stories, but also one of the things which I think can be really difficult for GPs is knowing what to do to help. And I think if people have a sense of how they can help, it's much easier to start those conversations off and help people to improve on their health outcomes.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think so many things in general practice, you do feel all at sea. And just having at least a roadmap of what to do and where to go and who to speak to is just invaluable. So if it is so prevalent, why don't many patients talk with their GP about it?
Yeah, there are quite a lot of reasons, but really, in summary, it's occasionally people are not recognising it as abuse. Yeah. It's only when people point it out that they go, oh, actually, yes, that really is not okay. Mostly, I think it's a bit about not realising that GPs can help with it.
Yep.
Not seeing it as part of a GP's role. You might have the view that you get your blood pressure checked by the GP or you go in on a prescription, but not broadening it to actually they can help with quite a lot of other things. And some of it can also be a bit about fear that the abuser is somehow going to find out. So yeah. Not really having a clear understanding about the confidentiality that we all are so careful about, or that it will accidentally be exposed to the abuser.
Okay. So that confidentiality is absolutely critical. And that is, it's something we all do, but it is very important. It shows why it's so important, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So as a GP, how can we help someone who's experiencing intimate partner violence?
Yeah, there are quite a lot of things we can do. And I think the first one is really just to find out whether or not that's actually occurring. There are a few sort of clinical presentations that perhaps could alert people to the fact that underlying it, there could be some intimate partner violence. So things such as actually just providing antenatal care. The antenatal period is a time when there's a much higher risk of exposure to intimate partner violence. People who present with STIs, particularly if it's a common occurrence, it's worth just having a think about and maybe just asking a gentle question about it. Unintended pregnancies, and particularly if there are a number of unintended pregnancies with the same partner. People presenting with chronic pain, if it's not been something that's been asked about before.
Okay.
People with mental health issues, so depression, anxiety in particular. Of course, it's not going to apply to people in all of these situations, but it's just worth putting a little alert in your minds about that. Alcohol and drug issues are also a time when you might just think about, is someone hurting them, or has there been abuse in the past that's still having an impact?
Because that's the other thing, the effects of intimate partner violence persist. On a practical level, how you mentioned about asking a gentle question, can you give us some of the gentle questions you use? Because I must admit, I remember years ago when I was doing my GP training, I thought, oh, geez, I must be missing all of this. And I started asking all the time. And I got all these, and I'm sure I was doing it wrong. I got a lot of women just going, no, you know, and just like being almost offended that I'd raised it. And how do you raise it? If one of those scenarios you just mentioned crops up, how do you broach the subject?
Yeah. So there are two bits. In my setting, we do routine screening for it. So that's a paper form that people complete before we call them into the room. And that's not really suitable for most general practices.
Yeah.
But certainly if a general practice had a really high load of people with mental health, drug and alcohol issues, sexual health issues, then it's worth thinking about whether to offer screening to everybody.
Yep.
In a setting where it's not appropriate to do that, just some of the gentle questions that can be asked and broadening it to, has anyone ever tried to put you down, humiliate you, or threaten to hurt you? So those types of questions and putting the ever in there helps to soften it a little bit.
Ah, that's a good tip.
Yeah. And then the follow-up, of course, is that happening at the moment? Or is that at some point in the past? And do you want any help with that? If the answer is yes. There are a lot of other potential questions that can be asked, but I think that's probably a good sort of broad enough question to get a bit of a sense of whether the person is experiencing it.
So just open the door and then let the patient walk through if it's appropriate.
Yes. And of course, sometimes if people are experiencing, they're not ready to talk about it, or they need to check you out a little bit more before they're willing to open it up. But I think sometimes having asked the question at one visit, and perhaps the answer is no, they may be more willing to bring it up with you if they develop a more trusting relationship in future.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's one of our key strengths as GPs, is we do, with a lot of our patients, have that long-term trusting relationship. So if a GP wants to learn more, can you suggest anything apart from the information provided in this podcast?
Yes, actually, I did a search recently looking for something specific on intimate partner violence, but the CBD homes have got quite a lot of offerings on intimate partner violence and or domestic and family violence.
Yep.
Certainly my workplace, Sexual Health Quarters, is offering, we're revamping some of our online learning. So in about early March, there'll be a 6-hour online learning module available to GPs across Australia.
Yep.
And other health professionals across Australia. We do also offer a short, either face-to-face or online workshop, but that's usually after people have completed the online learning. So they've got some good basic information there.
Great.
So once we have heard about it, there are quite a number of things that we can offer. There's a LIVES mnemonic, which I always tend to forget precisely what it means, but it does start with L for listening.
Yep.
And sometimes that's all that's needed, is listening with empathy, without judgment, which we're all extremely good at doing, even if you can't offer any more than that.
Yep.
If you are able to, if, you know, time pressures permit, then doing a little bit more of an inquiry can be helpful. So that's the I in lives.
Yep.
And the inquiry is a bit about what impact it's having on the person and a little bit about how safe are they? Do they need some urgent assistance getting out of the situation, or are they relatively safe and there's time to work on some strategies to help them? The V is validating. So demonstrating understanding and validating that this is actually not an okay thing for you to be experiencing. It might be against the law. So some aspects of intimate partner violence are against the law. Some are not, but are commonly accepted to be abusive and not acceptable. Enhancing safety is important, especially if any major safety concerns, either for the person or any children in the family, are identified.
Yeah.
And all of the, each state and territory has got some really excellent domestic violence or intimate partner violence support services. So there's usually some sort of crisis line in every state and territory that can be contacted if the GP is not sure what to offer or the patient really does seem to need urgent help. Then supporting and referring, other aspects to that. So offering ongoing support. You know, I'm here if you want to talk about it more, to take it further, to be referred to another service for help. Luckily in Western Australia, we've got a really good information website. It's on the Centre for Women's Safety and Wellbeing website, where we can do a little search for locality and type of service to refer to. So if someone wants counselling about the issue, there's a list of counselling services in the different postcodes. If someone needs legal assistance to work out managing visas or what to do if they were to leave, legal aspects of their situation, that's all searchable on that Centre for Women's Safety website, but that's only for WA.
Yeah, look, we'll make sure we put all of these resources in the footer at the bottom of the podcast, and we'll do our best to find equivalent resources in other states.
Good. Actually, Health Pathways is the other one to mention. So I think in most states that has been localised, that can be a really good source of information.
Yeah, fantastic resource on a number of things. Brilliant. Look, thank you, Alison. I've learnt an enormous amount in this podcast and I really appreciate your time educating us. As I mentioned, the resources will be available at the footer of the podcast. And we're also on our podcast, we're encouraging our listeners, if they wish to pitch us an idea for them to do a podcast takeover, we are all ears. Please email us at thegoodgp@gmail.com. Thank you, everyone. And yeah, I look forward to speaking again.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks for listening to the Good GP podcast, a proud member of the Talking Health Tech podcast network. Make sure you're subscribed on your favourite podcast player so you don't miss an episode. If you have any questions or would like to contact The Good GP, send an email to thegoodgp@gmail.com. The content of this podcast represents the opinions of The Good GP, hosts and guests of the show. The content is aimed at general practitioners working in the Australian context and is not intended to represent medical advice. Any listeners experiencing symptoms or who have concerns about their health should seek advice from a registered health professional. We make every effort to ensure that the information shared is accurate and up to date at the time of recording, but welcome any feedback or corrections. The content of this podcast is general in nature and does not refer to specific patient management. We recommend all health professionals review local and up-to-date guidelines prior to any clinical decisions.